When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to an in-studio edition of the Microbrew Podcast. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I am sitting across from the one and only Kurt Hoag, my colleague at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Kurt, I am so happy that you are here downtown in the in our humble offices. I'm not. Why? You wanted to do this.
What was the first thing someone said to me when I walked through the door?
You look tired.
Oh, that you did say that.
I
meant the office door, like into our physical office.
Oh, Kurt Hoag, shouldn't you be on vacation?
I should be.
Where are you going to take a vacation?
No.
You gotta have some. What do you do during the off season? Raise a child?
So okay. So I was talking about this with Todd in LA.
Todd Rosiak, shouts to you, sir.
Yeah, we got dinner at the hotel restaurant back to back nights. We were very explorative. Again, it's LA. I don't need to go out and explore the cuisine.
you went to LA and had food in the hotel.
Well, okay, that part's actually even more defensible. They charge you the $30 whatever destination fee on your hotel room.
Okay.
But you can redeem it. They're charging you $30 no matter what. But you can redeem it at like the cafe, the restaurant, the bar. For some of us, all the above. So we did that back-to-back nights. Anyway, I was saying that like vacation with a three-year-old is a nice idea.
Mm.
But then it's just parenting away from my house.
Yeah.
In like a new place. And maybe we can do something. You know, some stuff's fun. It's good to make memories. But also like, man, I'm tired.
Yeah. Why? One of the things I did when this was back in 2018. So I'm trying to think. My children would have been, like 6 and 4, roughly. We went to Hawaii, my wife and I, over Christmas without them. We gave them to in-laws. I went with my parents, so they were with her parents, and we let them enjoy their Christmas with their cousins, and we enjoyed our Christmas in Hawaii. Now, I say that because when I say that out loud, it sounds like horrendous cold parenting.
No, that's great.
In this office, I
would have loved to have been away from my parents for like a week.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I was with my parents, but you know, in this office, I am ridiculed. It's like, remember that Christmas when you abandoned your kids? And I'm like, yes, I do. And can I tell you, can I be really just straight with you? It was the best Christmas of my life. I had such a great time. First of all, I had never been to Hawaii. We took a cruise.
Yeah, it
was
Hawaii awesome. Is A1 on my bucket list.
Right. So instead of being here in the cold December, I was in Hawaii, which was incredible. Kauai, incredible. Like I saw 4 different islands.
All right, Steve Ballmer.
I could live on all of them. If I had that bank account, I would move to Kauai and maybe try to cheat the system sometimes. But
Chauncey.
I don't regret it. Wow, we're just moving around. We're already these NBA references. I recommend it. Like if you've got young kids, you owe it to yourself to take a vacation because the kids don't remember, they don't care, they want to hang out with their cousins, they just want presents. If you have to do it during Christmas, then do it. That's when it was cheapest and we did it and I do not regret it. It was the 7 greatest days of my life. And you know what? I really enjoyed coming home too. I loved
Christmas,
you know,
is really the cheapest time of year for Hawaii travel?
I'm pretty sure it was.
But what about the Hawaii Bowl?
Oh, I didn't think about the Hawaii Bowl.
No, that's probably not actually dictating price on the market that much.
You really don't want to spend the whole Hawaii trip on Oahu because that's not really – like Honolulu's cool, but like that's not really Hawaii vacation material. I mean it's just kind of a jumping off point.
Is Moana Hawaii?
I'm pretty sure. I'm not positive. It's more like just any of the islands in that general territory, I think.
Make
I'm not positive.
Make way, the village of mountain.
See if you knew the words. I don't know.
Emma listens to it constantly, and I just still don't know the words.
Yeah,
it's not like Frozen, which I can repeat bar for bar, word for word.
Yeah. Moana music slaps. That's just tremendous. It's a really, really good movie. It's really good music. Lin-Manuel knows what he's doing. What are we talking about here? Oh, the Milwaukee Brewers.
Well, they're
also on a vacation. Do you think they're in Hawaii right now?
Cancun. The Juan Soto. Do you see that when the Mets season ended? Regular season ended.
No.
He posted to his Instagram story on the way to Cancun.
It was
like 2 days after the season ended.
Steve Ballmer money, and he is doing the meme of a pro athlete whose season has just ended.
That's incredible. They go to Cancun.
It's incredible.
It comes from truth.
Oh, that's incredible. I cannot believe the Mets did not make the postseason. I can't believe that they spent all that money just to finish in the middle of the road. And I want to talk about the Brewers and what they've done well. Mostly I want to look forward because I think you and I would probably agree the outlook is pretty good for 2026 and beyond. They have set themselves up really nicely with an outstanding farm system with almost an entire roster of guys who are going to be cheap and coming back. So I wanted to talk about that and see if there's really anything they can do to get past that last hurdle, which is I've spent so much time thinking about the Dodgers and listening to podcasts about the Dodgers and the economic disparity and whether or not this was sort of a litmus test for whether there'll be a work stoppage in 2027. And I still think it is, of course, inherently advantageous to be the Dodgers when you have that much money in addition to the smart front office operation that you maybe don't have with places like the Mets. I don't know. But I'm just so conflicted. Like, I think it's a Dodgers thing. The Dodgers are a singular organism. Yes, they have the payroll, but they also have this ability to win on the fringes if they have to and like just make these smart decisions. And they don't go after the free agent guys who aren't going to be awesome when the rubber really hits the road. So I just feel like it's a singular problem. Right now, the Dodgers are awesome. And I don't know if the Brewers can overcome that if the Dodgers are – unless they take a huge step backward next year. And why would they? Why would the Dodgers be a lesser team next year? The only answer to that, I think, is health. If guys are not healthy, then maybe the Brewers can sneak past them. But I don't know. I feel like that roadblock is kind of just going to be in the way for the next few years. I don't know if that's my pessimism shining through. Do you look at that? Do you see the Dodgers going into the World Series here and think, what NL team is going to make it to the World Series as long as the Dodgers are at this particular, in this current form?
Yeah, but when you think that, it always goes the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the Dodgers, well, there's many things about the Dodgers, but in this context, it's like, there's certainly ways that baseball can happen to them and they could be a diminished force next October. And then you're like, well, then again, as long as they have Shohei,
yes,
they're going to have enough. Even if 5 of their 10 superstars are not playing well or hurt, they will still have enough. So look. It is a significant uphill climb being in the same league as the Dodgers, but also maybe someone else could beat them. It's not that they can't be beaten. Watch, they could lose the World Series here. I don't think they will, but suddenly you're going to see them as much more beatable if they lose 3 of these games, 4 of these games.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to sweep.
No, I think they're going to win in 5 or 6 games.
Oh, if it's 6, I'll actually be really impressed with Toronto. Toronto, if they make it 6 or 7 games, I'll be impressed. I'll be pulling for them. I'd love to see the Vlad Guerrero story. It's incredible. Dalton Varsho, of course, UW Milwaukee alumnus. Ooh, we're tying your
Go
two beats in together.
Panthers.
We're tying your two beats in together.
Media Day's on Monday.
Do you think there'll be any Dalton Varsho questions at Media Day, even though it's basketball? There should be.
Well, I would hope Bart Lundy knows who Dalton Varsho is.
I would hope so, too. First UW Milwaukee alumnus to play in the World Series, to play in the big leagues, for that matter. And now he's off to the World Series.
He's the first one to play in the big leagues? No way.
100%.
No.
I swear to you. I've written it a million times.
No.
I'm
that
sorry.
Can't be true.
I'm sorry, but it's true. They've never had somebody make it all the way to the big leagues. They've had guys drafted. They've had guys upper minors, etc. They never had an alumnus make it to the big leagues. And they still only have 2 because the Astros have... Oh, no, I'm drawing a blank. Blue Ball.
AJ Blue Ball.
He finally made it to the big leagues this year. That's it. Dalton Varsho was the number one and only for a while.
That seems impossible.
I'm telling you,
simply
it's not.
Because all the WEAC schools have had guys.
I know. It's weird, right?
Although I don't know when UWM went D1 for baseball.
Yeah, I don't either. I should know.
But how many of the WEAC schools have had big leaguers?
Oh,
it's got to be at least
a ton
like
of them. Jared Washburn.
5, 6, 7.
Whitewater, Oshkosh. They've all had guys make it.
Lacrosse.
Yep.
Stevens Point.
I'm telling you. It's weird, but that's the way it is.
Jordan Zimmerman's Stevens Point, right?
Yes. Yes. He is. Yes. I do get them confused, I have to confess. It's like sometimes Bruce. Lacrosse and Stevens Point and Oshkosh, and I'm sure all the alumni would be furious with me, but they do kind of run together to me. It's like WEAC is kind of a concept in my head, I guess, as a singular thing. Bruce what?
Bruce Zimmerman.
Bruce Zimmerman did not go to a WEAC school, to my knowledge. What was I going to say about the Dodgers? Something else. They are frustrating to me, even though they have very, very enjoyable players to watch. Shohei's very enjoyable to watch. They are inoffensive largely. Incredible pitching staff. I got nothing against them. Personally, I just would like to see something else. I would like to see something else. At this point, they've had too much success. Even though they have yet to win back-to-back, that could still be coming here in 2025. First back-to-back champion since the late 90s, right? Or no, early 2000s New York Yankees, right?
Right. So the 90s / early 2000s Yankees, I'm now realizing what that was like, and I'm confused why people have
forgotten them.
Why this has been it's been touted as some wasn't this the most maddening thing to be a part of? But people don't talk about it as the most maddening thing to be a part of. It's just talked about as it was this great dynasty.
Yeah, I suppose. Do you think that? Okay, so the Brewers won 97 games, best record in baseball. Would it serve them to win fewer? And obviously that's a silly question.
No.
I know. Okay.
No.
Because seems to me, and I'm not, it is to your benefit to get the bye for a number of reasons.
Yes.
And it was certainly to the benefit of the Brewers to get the bye.
They would have lost the wild card. I don't care who they were playing. They would have lost the wild card.
It just doesn't feel like there is any correlation between whether or not you get that bye, at least not in the limited sample that we have with the bye, which only dates back to 2022, there is just such a limited correlation between getting that and then moving on into the World Series.
The Blue Jays are in there.
Yes, I know, for sure.
Three of the four teams this year that got the bye won their first round.
That's right. And that is coming into this year, it was a full half. Like it was 50-50 shot, basically. So now we go a little bit north of that because we just don't have that much data on it. I guess I'm not so much thinking about getting to the NLCS. It's more about getting into the World Series, which is the thing people want. The Brewers have been to the NLCS, even though it's been some time between visits. Now it's about the World Series. It's about getting through. And I don't know what puts them in the best position for that. Like whether or not, and the reason you would lose more games is not because you want to lose more games, but because it would maybe not cause you to push for some wins and use your bullpen the way that the Brewers have, where they really were chasing some victories in close games where they were behind, and you saw a lot of usage for guys like Abner Uribe. And I think by the end of the year, you could kind of see that wear and tear. And it's just so difficult to talk about bullpen usage and imagine exactly how that affects you down the line. But would the Brewers be better served to just lay off the gas a little bit, knowing? I mean, it doesn't take much to be a playoff team.
Yes.
You can win 86 games and you're a playoff team.
I see where your question lies now.
Yeah.
It can be to your benefit to not manage every game as if it's a relative must win in the regular season.
I think that's right. Do you think, though, this team, and I've asked this question before.
No.
You know what I'm going to ask?
Yes, I do know.
Well, tell me what I'm going to ask.
Will they manage it any different?
Oh, okay. Yeah,
no,
they will not.
They will not.
Is this the best team of all time in Brewers history? 97 wins? Most wins? We've asked that before, too.
Yeah, I said the 82 team before, and I'm probably going to say it again.
I think the 82 team benefits from the format doesn't change until it's either 84 or 86. I forget. I think it's 84. Where you get to those 7-game series. So they, of course, beat the California Angels
They only had to win 3 games to make the World Series.
And they were all at home.
And they didn't have to go through literal Shohei Ohtani.
That's true. There was nothing of the sort.
Like
that Angels team was good. And they went down 0-2. You know, they had to win 3 straight games, which is no small feat. I'm not going to dismiss that.
No, they made the World Series.
They did.
It was tougher to make the playoffs.
It was.
They did that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a top. I'd give them a top 3 team probably. Top 3, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. I couldn't tell you why. Couldn't tell you how, but they were really good.
They won a playoff series. That's only happened in 3 years.
And against the Cubs, man. I mean, that's really fun stuff for Brewers fans. That's incredible. Even though, even if it fizzled out after that, that's pretty emotional, exciting. Crazy stuff. I don't know what I think of the Cubs going forward. I don't know if there's evidence that the Cubs are going to be significantly better or anything. They'll probably lose Kyle Tucker, even though Tucker was a little up and down this year. I don't know if I think Pete Crow Armstrong is a permanent fixture in the MVP conversation or anything like that. I think he's obviously a tremendous defensive player and a fine offensive player at times. I don't know if I think, oh, the Cubs are going to be a problem next year. I think the division is still probably the Brewers to lose. Would you look at it that way?
I agree, but I think the Cubs are still going to be picked to win the division again. I think that's how it's going to shape up.
Okay. Even if they don't have Kyle Tucker?
Even if they don't have Kyle Tucker.
Who's going to scare you in that offense then?
Michael Bush.
Sure.
He was their best hitter this year. Suzuki will still be there.
Okay.
They'll still play good defense. Horner up the middle.
Yeah.
Dansby Swanson.
Yeah. Okay.
Is Carson Kelly back?
Probably.
See, he's a free agent though?
I don't think so. No.
They signed him to a multi-year deal?
I need to open up my my free agents list anyway, because we'll probably have to talk about that at some point.
I think their pitching will be in a good spot if they can continue to work it for some development. They haven't developed a ton of great arms, but Cade Horton seems like one of those guys.
Yes. Yeah.
I think the pitching is fine, not great.
Let's talk about the Brewers pitching. Let's look ahead a little bit. Carson Kelly's not on this list of future free agent catchers.
So must have been a multi-year deal.
Real Muto is the guy at the top of the list for catchers. Salvador Perez after that, and I mean these guys are all in their mid to late 30s. Don't go into the offseason eating a catcher.
Man, William Contreras is going to make so much money.
I mean, just like an extraordinary amount of bank.
So much money.
He will be able to afford his own island off the coast of Hawaii or Cancun, wherever he desires to go. We talked a little bit on the last pod about Freddy Peralta a little bit and whether or not he'll be back. And I think we kind of agreed that it would not fit the Brewers' MO to bring him back unless perhaps they don't get the deal that they're looking for in the offseason. They did this with Devin. They did this with Corbin. Would they do it with Freddy as well? It seems likely. Is that the biggest question of this offseason? Because I wonder what the pitching staff looks like. I mean, I'm always hesitant to line guys up 1 through 5, but it seems like their pitching staff goes from decently solid to a few question marks because we don't know if Brandon Woodruff is coming back. Some of the comments later in the year makes me think I don't know where we stand with Brandon Woodruff. Like maybe not likely. I don't know.
It's not certain. That's for sure.
Yeah. So the pitching staff, I think, looks pretty, up in the air next year. So is Freddie's, Freddie's future the biggest thing facing them this offseason?
I think it's the most impactful, but I don't know if it's the biggest question. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
I think the biggest question is same thing was last year. How are you going to upgrade this offense? Caleb Durbin had a great year.
Tremendous year.
He's on my rookie of the year ballot.
Mine too, but he's not changing the world.
He is the third baseman next year. Like you found something there.
Oh, I'm not sure of that.
I am sure.
Okay.
That cannot be your biggest offseason bat acquisition again. An unproven AAA guy.
Well, especially because I think this is the best case scenario for Caleb Durbin, right? What they were able to get out of it. Maybe there's a little more ceiling.
Yeah, it's close. I think there's a little more in there, but I also think I don't know. He's not quite Sal Frelick. It's a little different, but they seem like higher floor players, both to me.
I think that's right. I think they stack their roster with high floor guys. That's sort of how they do.
But either way, you got to go for some ceiling at some point. You have to get some impact power for this team. And the trick for the Brewers, of course, is they value defense so much and the DH spot is taken. So how do you find a way, the players that fit the mold of the defense that you value and they hit for power, well, obviously those guys are really good players and they're hard to come by. And when they're hard to come by, that costs something. And the Brewers don't like paying something, whether it's, prospect capital or financial capital. That's very clear. But also, look, what was it? I think it was Matt Trueblood at Brewer Fanatic. Yeah, it was Matt Trueblood at Brewer Fanatic. Did the math and calculated the Brewers made roughly $30 million from playoff revenue this year.
Right. That was going to be my next
question. I got one place where that should go, buddy.
The Latin Academy?
Well, I guess if you like churning out superstars, yeah, maybe. Yeah,
they've done a little.
I mean, the Brewers have invested. There's no question about it. The Brewers have invested in a lot of significant areas like that, and scouting and player development, all that stuff, their facilities, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe into like a corner outfielder?
Yes, I think that's right.
I haven't even looked at the free agent list.
Oh, I have.
I'm not doing that anymore.
I'm doing it. Okay. I can't quit it. Let me tell you something about this free agent list, Kurt. It's bad. The names, there's no names. Ooh. There's no names.
Unless you're going for Tucker or
right.
Bregman.
Yes. And I mean, third base is a strong possibility for a team that wants to upgrade. Like, let's be honest, they're not going after Suarez or Bregman.
Man, they should have gone after Bregman. I mean,
they should have. They probably did. But the Tigers offered him more money and he said, nope, I'm going to the Red Sox. He's not a guy who's just going to be like, let's hang out in Milwaukee for a year.
Well, that Red Sox deal was pretty cushy for him as well.
Well, he gets to opt out and now he'll be back on the market after having a seven war season.
Right, it
worked out great for him, but he's not going to do that again. He's here for the bag, man.
Yeah. The Brewers were, I think, similar to how the Brewers were hoping Rhys Hoskins would have a year where he opted out of his deal after 1 year.
Yes, that did not go well for them. Max Muncy is technically available, but there's a club option there. And then after Bregman, Suarez, Muncy, it's Paul DeJong. Like, it's the list
on
is
on the left side?
On third, at third base.
Oh.
Shortstop? I don't even want to read you the shortstops. It's Bo Bichette, who does not play defense.
He doesn't?
I mean, he technically does.
Well, Brewers aren't going to pay a long-term shortstop anyway for many reasons.
And certainly not one who is grades out poorly on defense. And then it's 30-year-old dudes. It's Miguel Rojas at the top of this list.
Sure.
It's Trevor Story, Ha-Seong Kim, our favorite from last year. It's Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Folks, it's dark. So, I mean, I think there is a scenario where, I said Caleb Durbin, I don't know if I'm positive he's a third baseman. It's because he would be the second baseman and Bryce Turang would be your shortstop and then you upgrade at third base. But like, that's not going to happen. Not through free agency.
It's going to be Joey Ortiz.
It's going to be Joey Ortiz. Joey Ortiz at third base? Let's go. That would be a needless carousel of people. The corner outfielders, a little bit better. Mike Yastrzemski, 35. I mean, Ramon Laureano, like these are the next two guys in right field after Kyle Tucker. Ramon Laureano would be great.
I think he's going to have too much of a market.
I think so too. And Laureano has a club option and probably.
Oh, he does.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what he makes. Max Kepler is a name on this list.
Okay. That's an interesting
Starling name. Marte, Randall Grichuk. I mean, these are guys that they already would have said no to in past seasons.
Yeah.
And then in left field it's Lourdes Gurriel, who's only a 2.9 WAR player. He can opt out, but like that's the top of the left field list. You know, you don't get very far down before it's Jesse Winker, who is injured all year.
How was Gurriel's year?
He had a 2.9 WAR. He's okay.
Oh. Does he still play defense?
Yeah. He's if neutral, if nothing else. He's maybe a little bit better than neutral. He's okay. But
he's getting up there, though.
And then it's Rob Refsnyder after that, who's probably going to re-sign with the Red Sox, and he's 35 years old.
I've been waiting for Rob Refsnyder to be a Brewers.
I mean, the names on here are not good. If they upgrade, it's probably going to come through a trade of Freddy Peralta. I mean, that's the best way to get power on this team. That's why I kind of asked the question. I feel like these two things are connected. If you want to get power.
The unspoken thing of why they constantly do this is, you know, they always talk about wanting to avoid the down spells. And one way to do that is that's why you trade these guys is to keep, you know, adding to the system. But also, like, they just need they need to have means by which to get impact players,
right,
or at least regular players. Caleb Durbin's,
the idea of Joey Ortiz,
and you can only do so much of that through drafting and signing international free agents.
Yeah,
it's got to be a little like so. This is their way to go get other players. Is you maximize the return you can get while they're here. And then while the market will still pay whatever price, you know, the price that when you put it into the fancy old calculator, you put it into the model, it says you're getting a good deal on it. this is like the happy medium for that. So this is why they do it. There is a method to the madness. And again, that's probably why Freddy Peralta will be traded.
So Peralta, let's imagine a scenario that I think is kind of likely. No Peralta, no Woodruff. What is this rotation next year? It sure seems like Jacob Mizorowski has to go in as your ace, which I would be – I mean, again, 1-5, whatever. But I don't know. I don't know if that's a place the Brewers want to be. I don't know if Brewers fans want to be there. Maybe they do. He had obviously just – he was one of the breakout stars of the postseason, which was certainly a pivot in the right direction. Who else is in this rotation?
Oh, the rotation will be fine. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
It's going to be just fine, JR.
It's going to be Jacob Mizrowski, Logan Henderson, Chad Patrick.
Yep.
Tobias Myers, maybe?
Quinn Priester?
Quinn Priester, of course.
Quinn Priester.
He'll be back. This is why the trade for him pays off so handsomely. Not only did he have a great year, but he is under team control for quite some time. Okay.
I think Chad Patrick's good. Quinn Priester probably due for a step back, but showed you enough.
Was Chad Patrick good?
I think Chad Patrick will be good.
As a starting pitcher?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he's got it in him, man.
He's got to stop giving up home runs as a starting pitcher. I mean, relief pitcher, unquestionably, he was fantastic. And he probably, you know, he's equipped to be a starter. He's got all the pitches. He's got a guy who he can go length. And early in the season, he was effective. But I don't think we ever once thought of him as, like, this is who you have when all of your horses are running at the same time. He felt like a plan B. And he pitched well. He's well is probably understating it. He exceeded expectations, in my mind, quite a bit. But is he a guy that you go into next season thinking he's got to be one of your five?
I do.
Okay. I don't know if I want to be in that spot. Who else? Who are the other names that we're not thinking of? And maybe we have to go down to the minors.
Aaron Ashby.
As a starter.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. With that ship sailed,
Kurt.
Oh,
man. You are going to be so mad in like 5 hours when I ask this question to Matt Arnold.
We're recording this before the media availability.
I'm
not going to be mad because here's what they're going to say. They're going to say, well, we're open to a lot of things.
Yeah, no, we're not going to get an actual answer.
No.
But, I mean, wouldn't it make sense to stretch him out?
Yes. He's awesome.
They'll do the same with DL Hall, too.
Well, okay.
That I can – okay. I'm not going to fight you on that one.
Okay.
But I am going to fight you on this for obvious reasons.
You love Aaron Ashby. I respect it.
I will not do it again, okay?
You will not project that he will get Cy Young votes for a third straight year?
I am not. I don't have that in me. Aaron, but I am still tantalized by the idea of him as a starter.
Not as just an opener because that's what he
– Well, he was a starter.
He started
all
throughout
the postseason. He started three games in the playoffs.
Regularly.
I was on foul territory a couple days ago and Scott Braun – said it as a joke of something. Just we were talking about what the rotation is going to look like next year, and he brought it up as a joke of, oh, well, Aaron Ashby starts. And I was like, well, that's funny.
Funny
but
you should mention.
He might be a starter.
I really feel like that ship has sailed.
But don't you think
after a couple years?
I mean, he'll like. Wouldn't he push for it?
I don't know.
Think about it.
He's certainly.
What's his last club option? 28 or 27?
I think it's 28.
28. Yeah, it sounds right.
And he's
but even if they
commanding enough money to be a starting pitcher.
Even if they don't take that, well, not.
I mean, he's not expensive.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah. But more than they pay their relievers. That's mm-hmm. fair. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the idea of like when they signed him, he had the stuff that he has now.
Yeah.
If it's not better now. So why would he not start? Plus, he's going to be free agent soon. Why wouldn't he want to start? He's going to get another contract at some point. Wouldn't you want to maximize that by being a starting pitcher?
Yeah.
Aaron Civale? Oh, he's on the market.
Aaron Civale is available. If the Brewers need a starting pitcher, Aaron Civale is available. there's plenty of names on the starting pitcher list. There's actually quite a few names on the starting pitcher list. If they want to dig in there, that's probably the best place to do it. I mean, you go way down before you get to like Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, who – neither of whom I think lit it up this year, but like you would see those names and be kind of impressed if the Brewers were to bring one of those guys in. So the starting pitching is deep. It's a deeper list, a deeper pool. And I do think they'd have to dig in on some degree. I don't know if they have the bodies, but I also thought that last year and coming into this year, and then they proved me wrong. So what do I know? Why would you believe in the 2026 Brewers? And obviously because maybe it's just as simple as because we saw what they did in 2025. And so you have to believe with a lot of those guys coming back that they'll be good. But is there more to it? Is there something that's that tells you this is sustainable? We talked about how the magic wasn't sustainable a lot and we were wrong. And now maybe is it just, I mean, I've seen 3 years of it. What am I supposed to think? Or is there something else that tells you next year's going to be really, really good and here's why?
Well, part of it is the deferral to the past. But if you look, there's an argument for keeping Freddie Peralta, and it's that it's no longer about extending this window because you have extended the window. You just look at who's coming up. Like,
yeah.
You should be in a fine spot. And it's that 2026, you have another chance to be a very special team. And your best chance to be a special team is with Freddy Peralta as your number one starting pitcher.
Okay.
I think that's certainly the argument, because you look around at the rest of this club and you're like, a lot of times coming off a 90, things are not going to go as well as they did this year. Like next year, it's probably just not – it's just probably not going to be the case. However, with this team, you're looking at, okay, Bryce Turang is developing into something special. Jackson Churio, we know, is something special. Is next year the year he realizes it? Year three, that's a common year for the Leap. That's a big year for the Leap for guys. He'll be 22. Those two guys could be superstars as soon as next year in terms of their production. William Contreras was like a four-win catcher this year, playing with a mangled finger. He's the top two catcher in baseball. And if he's healthy next year, you expect nothing short of like a five war season from the guy. So you just start to piece together all these upward trajectories of the players, and you know, it's not going to necessarily be as – it's going to be rockier than you want it to be with some of the young pitching as well. Like Miz, it's going to be rocky still, rockier than you want it to be at least. Priester, same thing. Patrick, Henderson, all the above. But you just piece all of it together and you're like, man, 2026, they could be really good again. So don't trade Freddie. But
they will.
But they probably will. And then you can kind of look at – I mean, 2027, though, you can say the exact same thing, although there's going to be a lockup. So that might it might come at a really bad time for
the
Brewers.
It might.
But nevertheless, it's still trending upward as an organization. And I'm not sure they win 97 games again, but you also don't need to win 97 games.
That's right.
What if you win 93 games?
Win 87, 88.
Win 90 games with a higher ceiling,
mm-hmm.
with real impact players. And like I say, I feel like I am underselling what they achieved in the playoffs this year because they got smacked by the Dodgers. They didn't have to play in the wild card. And then they beat the Cubs. They were one of the final four teams standing. It's not that what they did this year can't work. It's just that it didn't work against the Dodgers. And repeated year over year, it probably doesn't work against the Dodgers. But that's not to say it can't. But nevertheless, the best chance of it working against the Dodgers is you suddenly have incredible Churio, incredible Turang, incredible Contreras. And they may very well have that next year.
You think there is an incredible Turang? Do you think this was more than just – I mean
– I think this is who he is. There's just a little more – I think he's going to have to find a balance for sure between the put the ball in play, you know, don't completely lose that guy, and the guy who can hit 25, 30 homers, because he can hit 25, 30 homers. And the other thing too – he can play better defense. He can play a lot better defense.
Yeah, this wasn't his year defensively. He is a Gold Glove finalist, but I mean, he'll lose. He's not gonna win out over Nico Hoerner unless it's just purely reputational. That would be he doesn't grade out that well. I think we forget about the shoulder with Bryce Turang. You know, he came into the year kind of dinged up, and the fact that he was able to put together the year that he did with that, I mean, it doesn't seem like that necessarily went away, especially early. He has obviously that incredible month of power in August. That falls off in September, but you know, maybe he just needed to get healthy and get right, and then he was back to being somebody who could take that leap forward, which he did. I think there's a lot hanging on Jefferson Caro here, who is a guy that we have not seen. He was with the team for a lot of the later stages of the season, late September into through the playoffs. He is a catching prospect. He's, I assume, going to be on the roster next year behind William Contreras. They're going to have to find a way to get him in the lineup and get him playing more than they did, like, I don't know, Danny Jansen, who was the truest the backup in every sense of the word, did not step on the field during the postseason. Because Caro is the future at the catching position for this organization. That's one of the reasons William Contreras is going to go get a bag somewhere else probably in a couple of years, because Caro theoretically is the guy. He missed a whole year with a shoulder injury last season, so that probably threw his timeline off a little bit. But he's still really highly regarded, really, really highly regarded. As much as we look at Jesus Mate and Cooper Pratt, who I think will also be a big storyline next year, if Ortiz is a shortstop, when does Cooper Pratt take his place? I think that's going to be a drumbeat that we hear a lot through spring training into the season. But Caro is kind of – is he still kind of the sneaky crown jewel of this whole organization? Like, I feel like they really, really expect him to be a starting caliber catcher very, very soon.
That's what Murph calls him, the crown jewel.
I know. That's why I threw that out there.
His defense is still going – his defensive game calling is still going to be incredible. The throwing has – we'll see where he comes back next year. But the throwing obviously is going to dip with the shoulder injury. So that does take a hunk of, you know, what you expected his value to be away. We'll see where that's at next season. But he's going to – I think he's the backup catcher. I think it's kind of written on the wall. He has one minor league option remaining.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to start toying with that so you can roster Eric Haas or someone instead. Like, it's just not worth it. Just bring the kid up. Seems like he's ready. His bat did trend upward as the year went on last year and he got healthier. So that's an encouraging sign too. And what better like place to learn? What better spot to learn than William Contreras catching? He can still catch almost every day. Like, you don't have to shoulder – too much of the workload, and you can just learn how to be a big league catcher, what it takes every day, how to manage a staff, all these little things that are going to help you in the long run. But yeah, you're right. I think there's a lot of the future still pegged on him, because you will be going from, I mean, it's like losing Prince Fielder in 2011, except it's actually at a premium position. Like, William Contreras is gone and suddenly you don't have him, and you can realize, oh, it's not so fun when you don't have any elite catcher anymore. Like, you can just pencil that in. That's an incredible luxury that the Brewers have had, and maybe Caro will keep it going, or maybe he won't. I don't think it's a sure thing by any means.
You know, you mentioned first base, and it got me thinking, if there is a chance to add power, first base might theoretically be a spot, because we don't know what they're going to do with Andrew Vaughn, who's going to be RB eligible. We'll talk about RB in a second. You know, Jake Bowers would be a good left-handed guy to have. And if you want to make it a platoon, maybe you get a right-handed guy. But going back to this free agent list, you go four names in Santana.
Yeah, no, that's not. Who's 40? That's certainly not worth going for that. Like, the Bowers-Vaughn platoon is probably going to be, like, what, a two-war platoon?
Yeah.
And, I mean, good luck beating that on the first base market.
Yeah, you're not going to.
You know, like, otherwise then you're paying Rhys Hoskins $17 million a year to do that, and you just, honey, we have that at home. Open the cupboard. There it is. There's your two wins. So that's what the Brewers are going to do.
Here are the starting pitchers that are available. Chris Sale has a club option. He's 37. Mm. Dylan Cease.
Well, go ahead. That's the top of the starting pitching market.
Yeah, I'm going to read you a bunch of names. Chris Sale, Dylan Cease, Framber Valdez, who's only 32, Ranger Suarez, who had a career year, Jack Flaherty can opt out, Freddie's on this list, Nick Martinez, Chris Bassett, Michael King has a mutual option, Shota Imanaga has a couple options.
Michael King's interesting.
Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Zach Littell, Patrick Corbin, Eric Fetty, Justin Verlander.
Zach Littell seems like a Brewer.
Sure, yeah. He does, actually. He does. He you does. Could see that working out. Didn't he give up just a ton of homers this year once he got to Cincinnati?
I
feel like he did.
I'm unfamiliar with his peripherals after the midseason.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't give up home runs in Cincinnati? But I don't know. I don't read those names to indicate that the Brewers are going to go after any of those guys. Just to say that the market is deep. Zach Eflin's on this list. Nestor Cortez is on this list for some reason. Adrian Hauser, who had a really good season this year.
Oh, bring him home.
Bring him home. Kyle Hendricks, who's retiring, so I don't know. Miles Mikolas is out there. You know, like, there are options in this department. So if they moved Freddie, they could supplement with some, you know, somebody either in that group or slightly below that group, Andrew Heaney, and maybe, you know, maybe sort of soften the blow a little bit. I don't know. I don't know. This list is real depressing, honestly. The free agent list, there's just not a lot here that the Brewers are going to be in on or interested in. Arbitration. Just mentioned Andrew Vaughn. Bryce Tarang is going to be in arbitration this year. Some of these guys are going to get raises. And once you get to that point, you get into the conversation, especially with a small market team like the Brewers, whether they offer some tendies, some non-tenders. Tenders, tendies? Does that work? Can we
yeah,
do that?
Yeah, no, that works.
It makes me think of chicken tenders, and I like that. But also, they non-tendered like Jake Bowers last year, Colin Ray last year, guys who were obviously still very capable big leaguers, but they ultimately
– they didn't non-tender Colin Ray.
Did they not?
They waived him instead of –
Oh, that's right.
Instead of declining, that's just declining right. his that's option, right. they waived him.
Oh my gosh,
So, they ended up having to pay the option.
They did because nobody claimed him. Yes. Yeah. And he did end up signing, but it was after the fact. He, of course, was quite effective for the Cubs this year, about as effective as he was last year for the Brewers. Are there guys that we're not thinking, that we think are just going to be back next year, but it's like, hold on, they're going to get to arbitration and be a little more expensive than the Brewers are going to be willing to pay?
Give me the arbitration list names.
Oh, I deleted that tab, Kurt. I mean, we could start with Andrew Vaughn, but we kind of already touched
Andrew
that.
Vaughn, we that's
Bryce Tarrang will be back.
Bryce Tarrang is back.
Yeah. Now I lost the
Nick show. Mears is one that I think will be back.
Yeah, that's hard to know. Trevor McGill is on that list.
Trevor McGill will he'll be tendered.
Okay. Because he could make up more than $4 million.
I can't guarantee he's back, though.
I would agree with you. I mean, Jake Bowers is still on this list, of course. He's not going to be that expensive. But
Abner Ribe is clearly the next guy. He is the next one in the line of Hader and Williams.
Yes.
And so what happens every time when we have figured out that there is that guy, the other one gets traded. Now, McGill still has 2 years left. I would believe that they think he carries a lot of value within the bullpen too.
I think that's true.
The power of friendship thing, if you want to mock it, you can mock it. But like he was – as the closer, he was the sort of the glue to the whole group.
He's the juice, man.
The juice,
that
yeah.
That first inning in game five, I don't think I'm going to forget that when he came marching in out of the bullpen to start the game.
So – we oscillate, though, on like whether or not that it matters to the Brewers' success. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like how many times do they lose the juice and they lost Willie? They're fine. They lost – well, there have been other guys. I wouldn't necessarily categorize Hader or Burns as like the juice of their
– I wouldn't either.
Position group. But there's probably others that I'm not thinking of right now. And either way, they've no matter who's come in and out, what personalities, they've been just fine and they've won. So – they have mostly bucked that trend, but that all to say that McGill fits the mold of a guy that they could get pretty good value from.
Right. So wouldn't it make sense to tender him a contract?
And they'll tender him. Yeah, they'll tender him, and I'm sure teams will call, and I'm sure those discussions will be had. And if someone wants to pay the right price, guess what?
Yeah.
He will be on another team, even though he's meant quite a bit to the Brewers the past couple of seasons. Jared Koenig will be back.
He's not arbitration.
He's not arbitration yet?
No, dude. He has like no big league service time. He's 32.
Oh, yeah. He's 32. At 1043.
Garrett Mitchell is the other one, and that's an interesting
crazy.
Conversation.
He's 32. Wow.
The Arby guys are William Contreras, and that's kind of complicated. That depends on whether they just pick up his extra
year. I don't think they pick up the option.
I don't think they do either. They'll go through arbitration.
It's 12 mil?
Yeah.
And he ain't getting 12 mil.
Well, he might get 11. MLB trade rumor says 11. So then the question is it worth saving a few thousand, 100,000?
So that's 10-5 for the Brewers, and the answer is yes. We've done this dance
we
before.
We have done. Okay. So it's Contreras, Vaughn, Tarrang, McGill, Bowers, Mears, and Garrett Mitchell. That's it.
Yeah, Mitchell's
– fascinating.
I believe Rob Z. I believe Rob Z is
– okay.
Is that the guy I was talking about?
Well – I don't know if Rob Zestrisny is going to be back, if he's going to be in for line for a big raise.
No, not there was one other one. I was talking about him with Ryan Topp. I can't remember
who we were
talking about. Oh, Blake Perkins.
Oh, okay.
Blake Perkins should qualify as a Super 2.
Oh, right.
They will tender him, but I think I would expect that to also be a name that comes up in various discussions.
I think that's probably true. Yeah.
The Brewers are going to value him a lot.
What about what does that mean for Garrett Mitchell? That means he's not going to be expensive in arbitration because he's played in 142 games in four seasons.
Yeah, there can't be too many position players that have reached arbitration
and have done
with fewer games than Mitchell. That's I have no read. I have no read on what the Brewers, if you know, if they bring him back, if they don't. Obviously, they would tender him, a guy with that talent. They would. I'm just not entirely like I honestly really have no great read onto how or where he fits into the future plans. Obviously, when you pencil him into the outfield, there's a spot there. There's a clear spot, and he plays great defense in center field, and he's still got some upside on offense, and it just changes the dynamic a little bit of that position player group and that outfield and that lineup. But I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know what they do.
Yeah. If you don't have Perkins and you don't have Mitchell, center field gets a little iffy, right?
Well, yeah, they will probably have one of them.
So you think one of them will be here?
Maybe both.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just speculating.
I mean, they would have Sal Frelick and they would have Jackson Churio. They would have guys who can play center field.
And I think they want Jackson Churio to be the center fielder.
Okay. We'll see. Yes, that would obviously be beneficial. It's just he has not graded out as a center fielder quite to the degree that he's graded out as a corner outfielder.
So, yeah. Maybe it's time to give that dream up, but I don't know if they will.
Yeah. All right. Getting close to the end here. Any changes to the coaching staff that you foresee? Like any? I mean, I'm not looking for names necessarily, but like, and maybe as we record this, we're going to find out in a few minutes, a few hours, if that's going to happen. But do you see that there's anything on the horizon that would be changing? You know, I think you've wondered before if other teams might be interested in Ricky Weeks as a managerial candidate. I don't know if I see the opening that I would expect him to go for. But what do you think?
Well, it's fascinating, JR, when you think about it, like. The Brewers have experienced almost no brain drain.
Yeah.
They're doing what the Rays did.
Yes.
A decade later, so I mean, maybe it's a little less novel. Yeah, but that wasn't brain drain. That was, I'm tired.
Yes.
I would like to
run my hometown team.
No one else drained his brain. He was just done. He just didn't want to do it for that last year in Milwaukee, which is fine, but they haven't had any of those top guys. I can't think of anyone off the top of my mind that they have had poached besides the manager when he was a free agent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at some point, right? At some point, it'll come. It'll happen. Matt Arnold will be around for the foreseeable future. The Brewers did it good and paid him. So,
kind of surprised that didn't happen sooner. Are you?
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
I will just put it that way.
He's referring to the upgrade to president of baseball ops that we found out this week. When David Stearns left, he held that position, and then Matt Arnold was already the GM at that point. He stayed
in the same role
for the next three years. He's now going to be a two-time – because I don't remember what we acknowledge as executive of the year, but Sporting News gave it to him again.
I think his peers vote on that award too. Okay. There's a real executive of the year award that goes around, but Sporting News did
get it. Okay, so he may not get that award again, but he's going to be a candidate for that again. It's quite clear that
all of his peers think he's very good at this.
Yes.
And
pay that man, please.
Look, you can operate in like a level of you can operate on a level of confidence too. Of like, hey, like, it happened with Craig. It happened with David. We are not the way we are because of one person.
Sure.
We don't just win because of Willie's gone. Doesn't matter. Corbin's gone. Doesn't matter. Hader's gone. Doesn't matter. But eventually, does that turn into hubris that bites you?
Yes.
If you lose Matt. If you lose Murph. I don't know. If you lose Chris Hook, are there certain straws during this drink that you just can't afford to lose? I don't know. That is another great question of the Brewers that I don't think we can have a great answer to. But it's very clear that Matt Arnold does a phenomenal job with what the constraints of the market and all that, and. They have a great group up there as well. Like he always credits those guys.
Right.
But when there's another guy in that seat, even if he's from the group and been in the group for the whole time, does it change? I don't know. That is a difficult question and one that the Brewers probably should not try to find out.
Yeah.
That one's not worth exploring.
No, I agree with that. I can't believe this team has won more games for three straight years here than the year before. This steady escalation to being – in a headspace they've never been. They've never won 97 games before. So obviously Matt Arnold is a huge, huge part of that. But it really opened my eyes when you were talking about the lack of brain drain. Todd did that story on, you know, how are the Brewers doing this? Despite the turnover that we perceive, the new GM, the new, obviously the players, the new manager. And then he's like, well, how much turnover is there? You know, Tom Flanagan's been here forever. Carl Mueller? I'm going to say his name wrong either way. I'm ashamed. But he's been here forever. Matt Klein's been here a long time. You know, Todd Johnson has been here forever. There are guys who are like Brewers. Like they've just been lifelong Brewers. And they have been, their fingerprints are all over this team. So, the brain drain has not been as real as
maybe it
could be.
I mean, the only person really that they've lost is Eduardo Brizuela.
Right, yes.
You know, at the top of the food chain.
Yeah. What about prospects? You wrote about this. I want to touch on it real quickly. You mentioned Tate Keener.
Oh,
I love,
baby.
I love a 2023 draft pick story. You mentioned him as possibly a prospect who could have some big input going forward. Obviously, we know about Mizrowski. We know about Logan Henderson. But there were a couple other guys on that list, Carol. There were a couple other guys on that list that I think people are going to need to know. And Tate Keener was not a name I saw coming, Kurt.
Well, you should have.
I've been
watching more Shuckers.
You know, I love the 2023 draft class. All you have to do is be in that group, and I'm a fan of yours.
I think he might be reliever long term, which makes – I don't know how exactly he fits into the 2026 plans because he's not going to be needed at the 40-man. And like but they're going to want to keep developing as a starter, obviously, mm-hmm. See if it works. But that's not the fast track. So we'll see. I just think he's an interesting name that definitely burst on the scene this year and kind of fits the Brewers mold of like just a different guy. He just is – he's not the normal type of arm that you see coming up. So – yeah, he's one. It's a big year for Craig Yoho as well.
Oh, man.
Big year for Craig Yoho.
Are they going to trade him, though? I was wondering that the other day. It's like if they don't believe in that stuff, which is big league ready, we know this, shouldn't they just trade him?
I just don't think that's what they do.
Well, no.
That's the Trent Grisham trade.
Yes.
Not saying he would turn out
to Trent be Grisham's
as,
available,
as
by
important
way.
As Trent Grisham. Oh, yeah, for bring agent. Him home. No,
I mean I don't know. So the thing
he
doesn't swing. His defense is just okay,
that's
but it's
fine.
It's passable.
Put him in a corner.
Okay. The thing about him is he went on this massive power surge this year, and lefty swinger in Yankee Stadium, right? Except all his homers are coming on the road. He's not hitting them at Yankee Stadium, so I don't know what to make of it. Like this is such a huge jump for him. Is it possible that that's like real? Because it's just not. It's not because of a short porch at one particular stadium. I don't know. Anyway, yes, bring him home. We'll see how that goes. First question, Trent. thinking back to 2019. Anyway, sorry, I robbed your train of thought.
I don't know where I was.
Well, you were talking about Yoho. You talk about other prospects.
It's just a big year for him. Luis Lara will be up. That's my. That's where I'm planting a flag.
Do you think of him as like a speed guy, a defense guy?
I think of him as a Brewer, man.
He's definitely a Brewer. He is.
I don't think nearly enough attention was given to the fact that he had like a 115, 120 WRC plus mm-hmm. as a 20-year-old. He was 20 this year at AA.
Yeah.
And his defense is.
Stellar.
Is bleeping phenomenal. It's stupid good. He's insane with the ground he covers.
Yeah, that's Brewer. That's why you let Blake Perkins or Garrett Mitchell walk away because you got a guy.
Maybe they roster him for another year, but
he and Caleb Durbin and Sal Frelick, who of them is
he's
the tallest?
Another short king, baby. He's another short king. Kings. I can't believe I didn't mention that. Yeah, and he's like 5'8".
He's
maybe
teeny, teeny tiny, but he's good. Well, teeny tiny in height. He's pretty thick. He's a bowling ball dude. He's not.
Yeah, he did hit the ball hard. Around. He didn't have like, it. It's weird because it didn't translate to power, and he's already 20 and like already 20. Good Lord, Kurt. Why? How could you say that?
Well, he's obscured by guys like Jesus Mate, the other young guys.
He hasn't grown into the. Like, by this point, you get to AA, you'd like to have seen them grow into the power a little more. And he hits the ball harder a little bit, but he doesn't hit doubles and home runs, so sure. I don't know. But maybe he doesn't need to do that.
Do you agree with me that Cooper Pratt will be one of the more talked about guys in spring training? Because, he didn't get to AAA, so there's still some runway perhaps.
No, he ain't making the team.
Not initially.
But I think he will be talked about until you get sent down to minor league camp in like May 10th.
Yes. May 10th is about right. Just doing some quick math. Maybe a little earlier than that, depending on where we feel about Super 2 and whatnot. Not that I would accuse the Brewers.
Sorry, March 10th.
Oh, sorry. I was already.
No, he ain't
season.
Coming up by May 10th. No.
You sure?
No. Yes, I'm sure.
Okay. We'll see. I think it depends a little bit on Joey Ortiz and whether or not he's the starting shortstop and whether or not he is thriving. Because this was a really weird year. Real rough on one half of the ball and just fine on the other. So I don't know what to make of it. Kurt, I think that's what we got here. We have one more episode upcoming, and that is going to look back at our predictions. We're also going to revisit some of the highlights from the year, and that will probably be our unofficial soft launch into the offseason. Do you have any other thoughts looking ahead to the 2026 Brewers before I let you go?
I need to be on a beach.
Yes. Hawaii, or are you thinking Cancun?
I'm thinking anywhere, man.
Anywhere.
Anywhere, but like L.A.
Yes. World Series, we kind of talked about it. Who we got?
I got the Dodgers in five.
Yeah, I got the Dodgers in four. I'm very open-minded to the idea of Toronto surprising me. Please surprise me and steal some of those games. That would be really, really fun. That team is fun. They're fun.
Yeah,
and they are a lot like the Brewers. The Brewers don't have a Vlad Jr., but they've got a lot of those guys.
I think
guys.
All the Final Four teams this year were fun, so and the similar. Brewers just didn't show it.
I agree. You're right. I think Seattle's a lot like the Brewers, too. They are a little more pop, maybe, once they added Naylor. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think the Brewers just did not show it, and it would feel a whole lot better if they'd taken that first game. If they win that first game, I feel like we would feel a whole lot better about them belonging at this stage of the season, you know, being truly one of the four best teams in baseball, which is obviously what they were. So, I don't know. Maybe everything goes differently if they can kind of sneak away with that first game. He is Kurt Hoeg. Find everything he has at jsonline.com and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. We will be back again with you very soon. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.